Welcome to Movie Banter.
I'm Paul Granta.
I'm John Sands.
Well, I'm Jennifer Masters. Hello.
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 Oh, we've got films.
We've got films.
Is it Paul's drinking tea?
It's tea banter.
It's a British
tea
podcast, can you tell?
British band tea. Movie band tea.
Lovely.
Top ho. Welcome to...
Yeah, no, you see, top ho in American parlance might sound like something entirely different.
It's in top hole, isn't it?
Sorry.
Top ho. It's top hole.
I think it's what ho, top hole.
What ho, top
yes.
hole. Yes.
Top hole. If I was a rich man.
Dubber.
I feel we're going off topic.
Meanwhile, back at the plot, what there was of it. Welcome to the episode. We're in, this week, we have Toy Story 3, we have Inception, we have Predators. Who can ask for anything? lyrics for those.
We're going into a musical round.
Indeed.
But yes. Inception, I think, is the bigger film, but we're going to talk about it. We're going to do a special one in the future.
So we're going to do...
So worthy.
So this week when we talk about it, it's going to be spoiler-free.
Yes.
So if you haven't seen Inception... and don't want to know anything about it, then you can listen to this episode, that's fine.
Yes, yeah. And we're going to be very careful to not ruin anything.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean you can't talk about too much. Not because it's full of twists and turns, but it's just
but
the feel
nice
of it is important to
yeah. yeah. But in future, we will do one where you need to have seen it.
Yeah,
so go and do your research. Go see it. And then
take part.
Come back.
Yes. Mm.
Yeah, good.
But in the meantime, we've got other films we can discuss in depth.
Exactly. And hooray for the fact that the drought seems to be over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the World Cup has finished. And so suddenly there are films back in cinemas, which is nice.
Yeah, indeed. And well done to Spain, obviously, for winning things.
Well, true.
Apparently their millionaires are better than our millionaires.
Well, yeah, that's right. None of us are big football fans, can you tell? We don't really care. Yes. I'm just pleased there's films back at the cinema.
Well,
having
been,
TV is more varied.
I've just been in Spain for a week, and they're all happy about that, which is nice.
Are they?
And a little bit.
Yeah.
And there was, where we were staying, where you guys have been as well, in fact, little village, sort of Spanish Costa Blanca, and they got a tiny little cinema. Do you remember seeing it?
No.
Small. I always thought it was called the cinema, but actually it was a disused shack sort of thing because there's nothing. It just looks like nothing. No, well, that one to do down Spanish architecture. It looks like a mud hut. It looks like well done. One day they get a multiplex, but for now they've got this living room. But bizarrely, they had a poster about every day, and we went past it every day, and they had a different film name every day. So even they had one screen, rather than have like a multiplex with seven screens showing every day, they got a different film every day, and that's how it works every day.
Mm.
But I did notice that the one they had as the day we left was at Noche y Día, which I believe must be Night and Day. Which isn't out here for another few weeks.
I think it was meant to be out here at the beginning of July, and then got pushed back. Because I thought I'd missed it, and Guildford wasn't going to show it. And then, they've now turned out August.
Yes.
So I don't know if that's UK-wide or just around us or what.
No, I don't know, but Spain got it first.
Yeah. But all the thing is, my Spanish is virtually non-existent, but that sounds like noche, meaning night without a K.
Well, they had, interestingly, because they had, cause I don't know, Canoche probably wouldn't really work.
Well,
it's kind of meant to be night as in shining armour as well as...
Yeah, as well as his character name.
No, what they did have was it was Noche in inverted commas, like Noche. So they're going, so-called night.
Still doesn't quite work, but fair enough. I suppose. What else are you going to do with an English pun-based title?
Yeah, pretty much.
A giant wink with it.
The other one they had was, because they had like two screens, they show a current release and an older one. And one of the ones they had was the poster for My Sister's Keeper. Remember that?
Wow. Was that Cameron Diaz and
Abigail Breslin, I believe? Mm. Except it was called something... I think it was called something like... You could tell it was translated as, like, The Decision of Sarah, or something like that.
Right.
So, clearly...
Like the sequel to Sophie's Choice.
Does a little bit. A little bit. The one she chose grew up, and that'll make another choice. But I guess they don't have a phrase, My Sister's Keeper, probably. Because that's obviously... It's My Brother's Keeper, and it's a bit biblical. And,
Doesn't translate well.
Anyway, if you've got any interesting translation of film titles, email us in, why don't you?
There's some corkers, actually.
I bet there's some cracking ones.
Yeah. But please do. But in the meantime, should we crack on with Toy Story 3?
Exactly. Speaking of night and day, because the short at the start of the Toy Story is day and night, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. It all links. Yes. Toy Story 3, Pixar's latest opus.
Indeed.
If you haven't seen the first two, then go and see them, because it's appalling. But this continues the trend I'd say it continues the upward trajectory of the Toy Story films, personally. Not a massive upward trajectory.
I think that the first two hit the ground running, really. I mean, they're pretty darn good. The first one was excellent, and the second one matched
The second one to the first one. Not by much, just a bit. But I think, for general feel, I think this one actually beat the other two for me.
Really?
Yeah. Not by much.
I think this is a bit more emotionally... evolved.
Yeah, I think this had a few lessons from Up factored into it. The first two I didn't get as emotionally involved in as I did
right.
with this one.
Mm. Okay.
In fact, I thought it was so consuming that I'm surprised it's actually a U.
Well, yeah, it's for a kid's film. Well, the basic plot is much like the second one, where they get lost and have to rescue, climb back to Andy's home. In this case, the toys get thrown away by mistake. But he's going to college and he was going to put them in the attic. They get thrown away, and then Woody goes to rescue them, and they get given away to a daycare centre, and hijinks ensue. There's elements which are a lot darker than were in the other two films.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's why I'm not necessarily as fond of it as the other two, I think. But there may be swayed by the fact I watched it in quite a full cinema with lots of kids. And
Was there crying?
There was crying, there were walkouts, there were crawlouts. There were.
Is it a U? I think it's a U.
I think it's a U.
Yeah, and I'm slightly
surprised. It was a bit much for them, I think.
Yeah, I definitely.
Because there are at least. Well, there's one scene towards the end which is quite intense, and there's one character, just the monkey. I won't see that. He's quite terrifying.
He's freaking.
I can see a lot of very young. I mean, I was watching it thinking, oh, that's quite unpleasant.
Yeah.
And if I was thinking that as an aging man, then your average 4-year-old being wheeled into this might be properly terrified.
Well,
by
we had an email actually saying that from Manda Rayner. Hello, Manda.
Hello.
She says, hi, guys. I went to see Toy Story 3, non-3D version. We may get to that shortly. Mm-hmm. With my 5-year-old son. Both he and I loved it. Not as many laughs as I'd hoped, but still lovable. I hope you've seen it by the time you read this, as I want your opinion on the monkey. It freaked the crap out of me. I will definitely be buying the DVD when it comes out.
Yeah.
So despite the
monkey's
freaking
the monkey
crap
freaked
out.
The crap out of me a lot.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, was it three? There was something else you said as well.
I think it was the 3D-ness
that prompted me. Yeah, well, we could cover that.
We'll cover that. Yeah, I think that the monkey freaked me, and also the baby as well.
The baby's meant to be quite disturbing, though.
It is quite disturbing.
Then again, there were some. What is it? The toys of the boy next door. Have like some sort of mutilated baby?
Yeah, there's a baby with sort of skin,
shaved
head.
Thing, wasn't
yes.
It?
Yeah.
And the baby in this is kind of like the unmutilated bigger brother of that. Just sort of the silent.
Strong,
silent, creepy type. They slightly tweaked the appearance of the baby over time, depending on what side.
I don't think they tweaked the appearance. I think it was just cunning as to how.
Well, maybe
they
it was maybe lighting or similar.
Yeah. It evolves.
Yes,
I've got a feeling
softer and harder
that
at different times.
We see it as a bit freaky because we've seen in horror films that's the sort of.
It's
a bit freaky because I think kids don't really bring that to
well,
it.
Well, no, this
stuff.
Is
yeah,
it.
That's true.
You said you found it quite disturbing, and that's one of the characters that I felt more pity for than anyone else because I used to have a doll a bit like that. I was like, oh no.
See, I didn't. I just used to stamp on my sisters.
Yeah.
Until they looked like the one in the film.
Well, yeah. No, but I could equate the baby with sort of your big, stupid, gullible henchmen in other films.
Yeah.
But yes, like you say, but I think that's true that children wouldn't necessarily bring that interpretation to it. They just see, it's a baby. And so they might have a slightly more simplistic interpretation of it and not find it as creepy.
In fact, one of the toddlers in the film had it's cute sometimes annoying, habit of just yelling out everything. You see, it was that age when they point at things and they go, oh, look, it's a thing, and I'm going to tell you what the thing is, and there's another thing, and I'll tell you as well. So whenever she'd just go, baby, look, baby, and everyone goes, yes, it's a baby, well done. The cutest thing she did actually was in the short at the start of the film, which was quite surreal in a way.
Yeah,
really.
It was.
Quite. I can't imagine the pitch for that one. The sort of day fights night and very bit odd.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And then, yeah, very good, well done.
It wasn't necessarily their best. I think I preferred like the clown one and others. Visual interest,
it was quite good.
It did grow on me. The beginning, I'm just like, oh, this is a bit experimental, isn't
it? Was a bit much.
Do we want
the
waterfall
was quite funny.
Yes.
But anyway, there's the bit in it where they wrestle for it and they fight a bit. And this toddler just yelled out, "That's naughty!"
Brought up child
exactly.
to know that's wrong.
Very good.
Yes. Although, actually, talking about Night and Day briefly, or Day and Night, I don't know if you might know, but the radio, at the end, they hear a radio broadcast.
Oh, yes.
And that's almost sounded like, it sounded like Lenny Bruce, but I'd be surprised if it was.
I
don't know who
someone
it was.
Someone may know.
If you've seen it and know, then let us know. It's podcast@moviehunter.co.uk.
Thank you very much.
Let us know, because I'd be intrigued.
Yeah.
And if I can remember specific
like
words from it, then I'd use it.
I know there was the word prejudiced, because I remember thinking, do these toddlers know what, that same toddler, prejudice. It's not really going to happen, is it?
But yeah, it's ultimately very, very good.
Yeah,
it's a proper, and especially towards the end as well. I cried.
We're back on Toy Story.
Yeah, sorry, back to Toy Story.
Yeah. No, I'm annoyed that I didn't cry, actually, because a lot of people...
You're dead inside.
Well, I think I've just read too many reviews, and too many people have said, oh, you'll cry, oh, you will. And so I spent the last quarter of an hour going, okay, is this the bit I'm going to cry at? Is this the bit? Oh, it's this bit. But I spent so long analysing it, I'm not even close to it.
Well, that for me still means you're dead inside. Because I was wondering what made me cry, and I did.
I cried at another bit, which, like I say, is this really quite intense moment that seemed like some sort of disaster movie moment.
Yeah, no way else. That's slightly hellish.
We're all going to die. But it's the fact that, you know, some films build up their entire script and everything to get to that moment of feeling, whereas in this film, it's one of many moments, many genres that seem to be tapped on.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was... It was well done.
Yeah.
Well, yes. And it was a proper caper. It was
and it does have it has bigger highs and lows than I was expecting. Mm. On the highs that reminds me in the email, he said not as many laughs, and I agree. I wanted to start, but I can't remember how much I laughed at the first two either.
Yeah.
But just as I was thinking, I'm enjoying this a lot, but there haven't been that many laughs. They had two sequences which made me laugh my proverbial ass off.
I can guess. Did one involve Ken?
One involved Ken. Ken was the first one.
And did the other involve Mr. Potato Head?
No, that was funny.
Yes, yeah. But no, the other bit is shortly after that is Buzz when he goes into a different mode.
Yes, that's very funny.
Unexpectedly. Very funny. And that was just brilliantly
done.
It made
me wonder, if I'd seen it in the Spanish cinema, how they would have dealt with that.
Well, yes, very true.
But it would be interesting.
And the inclusion of Ken, I'm sorry, Ken that Frick. Is just brilliant.
Yeah, see, Michael Keaton, he needs to do more things.
Yeah, I didn't notice him till the end.
No, I only remembered when he first came on. I thought, oh, I know the voice, and I know that that's someone, because I remember reading an interview with whoever it was and was trying to work it out.
Mm.
Yes, and also the hedgehog I couldn't place. The whole way through, I kept sort of half thinking, I know, is it Sean Bean? No, it's not Sean Bean, it's Timothy Dalton.
Oh!
Who are you thinking of?
No, I thought you meant the other guy, not the hedgehog, the one next to the hedgehog, whatever that one is.
Oh, the horse, the unicorn.
Unicorn, which
who
is
was that?
Seth Rogen, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Well, sounded like him anyway. I presumed it was him, but, yeah.
Yeah, go and see the film, and then this will make a lot more
sense.
Yes,
we're not talking about the hedgehog, the unicorn.
Ah, fair enough. Yes. A bit odd. So one was formerly Batman, one was formerly Bond. It's all a bit weird.
Yeah, it's quite cool, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Actually, that was another thing they did quite nicely was the... the improvisation.
That was quite funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
When Buzz when Woody has to sort of get involved with new toys.
I think I clapped with glee, didn't I?
Well, yes.
I love this.
But you are an actress after all. It's your sort of area.
Should I read another email we've had about?
Yes,
Jed emailed in saying, hello. Besides being funny, Toy Story 3 continues the trend of Pixar films that also tug just hard enough at the heartstrings.
Yeah. They are. They're going. I mean, broadly speaking, one you might think, "Oh, Up was better." Or this, they're definitely going from strength to strength.
Mm.
They've gone from brilliant kids' films to then sort of the Incredibles and good family films, and now they're just. Sort
That's
of
not enough
anymore,
is it? They now go. They go no. Yeah. It's a great caper, great good romp, fine. But we need
not even necessarily just tugging at heartstrings, but not in a scheming way. Ah, brilliant! We're just going to make you cry, but in a proper, just making it a real emotional journey. In whatever film they do.
Well, as Jed continues, he says, I say just hard enough at the heartstrings because the sentimentality does not become overwrought and maudlin. Good word, maudlin.
Maudlin.
Nor does it undermine the fun that is at the film's core, because the best movies aren't just nice to watch, they are emotional experiences in one way or another.
Very true.
He says, Toy Story 3 is a keeper. In many ways, it is one toy that you'll bring with you to college.
Oh,
clever. You see what he's done there?
Yeah,
that's
cute.
So yes, go see.
Yeah.
Recommended. Yes. Recommended.
Thumbs up all round.
Indeed.
We could. I was going to say we could set up Desert Island Fix just to give you time to think.
Oh yes,
not you, the listeners, not you personally.
Am I a bit slow?
Give Paul time.
I'm a special needs guy.
Let Paul have a lie down.
No, I don't need extra half hour.
Paul is the gigantic baby.
Slow down here.
No, I just need to break up the reviews a bit.
Yeah, very true.
This way, because of Inception, we're thinking best Leonardo DiCaprio film.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Because looking through his list, there's a lot to choose from. The last pretty much 10 years, he's just been selfish in terms of films,
hasn't he?
It's been there's one film called like Don's Plum, which I've never heard of.
Yeah,
but beyond
Don's
that,
Plum.
It's
Don's
something like that. I can't.
Plum.
Really?
I can't look it up now. But it was like 2001, just after The Beach, and just before. Whatever he did in 2000, before Gangs of New York, he did a film I'd never heard of.
Are you sure it's not?
Because it must be the transition film, isn't it? Between strange sort of travelling drug user time. Too hard nosed.
For all I know, it could just be some minor thing he had a cameo in, but I didn't click.
Are you
it
sure Don's Plum isn't the sequel to What's Eating Gilbert's Grape? It's Gilbert's Grape, Don's Plum.
It's Barry's Pineapple.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a series of children's films.
Jake's Banana. They're all there. Yeah.
No, see, Jake's Banana sounds a little bit creepy.
Yeah. Mm,
yes.
Only the hammock.
But from memory, it's The Beach, Gangs of New York, Catch Me If You Can. I'm missing out a couple.
The Aviator, Titanic, Romeo and Juliet. Shutter Island,
Inception, and a couple in something in 2008
as well.
Yeah, he's done about 10 brilliant films in about 8 or 9 years, and it's just a bit. It's just a bit weird.
Revolutionary Road.
Yeah, well, that one.
Diamonds, Body of Lies.
Here's where, go back and listen to our Revolutionary Road review, whatever episode it was, because, you'll see our difference of opinion, because Jen loved it and I hated it. I think Paul hated it as well.
I didn't.
Worthy film, good performances. Yes. I just found it irrepressibly dull.
He's got 22 films in development at the moment, according to IMDb as well. So, in fact, what we could do is we could pretend that we can fool people into thinking we're from the future by mentioning them now and how good they are. And then they'll go, well, how did they know? Because they're going to be good, because he always picks good films. So, Farragut North, that was a good film.
Oh, awesome.
In Dark Woods, I love that. Brave New World. Brave New World, that's probably based on the book.
Yeah,
there's loads of them. You know, Akira and The Neverending Story. He's apparently doing The Neverending Story remake.
I think so.
He'll be the big flying dog thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd imagine some of these are sort of hypotheticals.
I can't imagine he'll do that, not in the next year.
Tenuously Inception, but not quite related. Bit of random news stuff. Yeah. Is that current? Because Batman 3 rumours, now Christopher Nolan done Inception, he can now move on to Batman 3. There is a story, we don't know what the story is yet, but he knows that it's coming together. But apparently, from one or two different sources, have said that a casting grid or something has gone around, which apparently is what studios use. You basically have a list of parts you're going to need, and then a list of potential actors for them, with filling in on who's available and what's going on and who might be able to do what. And apparently, Joseph Gordon-Levitt is interested in playing the Riddler.
Oh, I could see that working.
Again, it's all very, very rumoured, and doesn't even be, the Riddler might not even be the film, but that's the that's slightly more concrete than we had in the past. But the Riddler is a fairly safe bet as a character to be in the
yes.
Because he fits the real world thing, and he's going to be somewhere between the Joker and the Scarecrow. And have a degree of flair to him, but not as much as the Joker, but could be psychotic, but could be less so. And
get Jim Carrey back. Well, even better, get Frank Gorshin back from the '60s. He was brilliant.
No, a bit too camp. Brilliant. Weirdly, I'm relatively unusual, it seems, in not minding Jim Carrey's Riddler.
No,
Batman Forever was the start of a slippery slope, certainly.
Yeah. Yes.
But it's just the fact it's not as terrible as Batman and Robin.
That could be comparison.
And definitely there are bits of it that are just horrible and wrong, but Jim Carrey, I think if he was a bit more restrained, he could have, he sort of worked as a real world Riddler, I think.
Yeah, trying to actually go a bit deeper than maybe.
Yeah.
At least he didn't spend the whole film going, "Cool it," or "There's a freeze
exactly.
coming."
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, no.
Anyway,
maybe you're having that horrible nightmare kind of image.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Leonardo DiCaprio. Should we move on to a film in which they are both involved in?
I think we could do. Yeah, touch on it relatively briefly.
Without giving too much away about the film, just mention two people who are in it.
Well, yes. Yeah, it's a weird one because I know before watching it, I'd seen a trailer and knew the gist, but was sort of thinking, oh no, I don't want to find out anything about it. But actually, knowing certain bits of plot wouldn't really ruin the film because you'd have no context, if that makes sense. So it makes more sense in my head.
Okay.
But essentially, I don't mean specifics of plot, but knowing the broad sweep of the film doesn't really, if the plan is to do this in the film, right? And it still wouldn't actually make much sense unless you actually see the film.
Yes.
But the gist is, talking in terms of trailers and the sort of information level you'll get, it's about dreams and people going into dreams and doing things in other people's minds.
So we sort of talked about in terms of Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind, sort of area, plus a little bit of the Sky,
elements of the Matrix, but not quite
Matrixy. Ooh, that was a bit of an earthquake in the Guildford area. Probably just a door slamming because of the wind.
Right. Yeah. And so Leonardo, but coupled with a degree of sort of heist film as well.
Yes.
Having to do things through. Yeah, and it's Leonardo DiCaprio being the Danny Ocean of the group, for want of a better turn of phrase. and trying to get a group together. But then he's got his own goals in mind as well. Mm. You know, on some levels it's just a job, but also he's got ulterior motives.
Which turn out to be more hazardous than most people could have thought.
Yeah, having repercussions. Mm. You can tell that we're just dancing around.
We're trying not to say anything.
We won't spend too long in there anyway, because we'll do a special. I think we'll do an Inception special.
Partly so we can talk unfettered, but also because there are lots of... Without getting too much into the pretentious swing of sort of, but meanings and layers and things. But there are definitely different aspects to discuss and different interpretations of certain things. And also, it'll give us a chance to see it again, I think it warrants.
Well, our job now, then, is just to say enough about it without giving anything away that persuades any listener who hasn't seen it but might want to see it to go and see it.
Yes.
So go and see it.
Ultimately, it's very... Yeah, I mean, I think it can work for... Anyone who wants a really deep, you know, intense film, I think it works on, for want of a better word, a superficial level.
Yes.
You can go in, watch it, start to finish, and think, oh, this has happened, that's happened, that's happened. You know, there are times when you need to pay attention to what's going on and think, oh, right, so that means that and that. But it's not complicated or convoluted. They do a good job of reminding you at every step.
Yes.
Without hammering it home
too much. What I thought was interesting, though, was there wasn't any... They could have easily done this, have had a character who was basically the equivalent of, I always think of it, in Casino Royale, the bloke who goes, he needs a 5 and a 9.
Yes.
And they could have had someone who basically every line they say is, what's going on?
Remind us what's going on.
We could have had a lot of recaps in there.
Ellen Page's character is a little bit like that to start with, because she's new and brought in to sort of understand how the dream world works. But it does make sense, because she serves a purpose as well.
Yeah.
And so being a new character, and so her and Leonardo DiCaprio sort of go through and he explains how the world works. Mm. But because we want to know what's going on, and it's not like in poker or anything else where anyone who knows how it works will, get on with it, I know all this. Because no one's going to know this. We're just setting up the rules of their... Yeah.
Exactly. But they do... What's great about it, they credit the audience with some intelligence.
Oh, yes.
It's a thriller, yes. It's got visual flair by the bucket load. But without being a sort of Avatar sci-fi epic in that way.
Yeah, it doesn't lose it.
It's not spaceships and aliens. Mm. It's the visual flair is in when, you know, I don't know, if a building might collapse or something, you'd see things flying, you know, very... wonderful slow motion that it makes you just go wow. And in a very simple real world, it's not like you've got to think, I can't conceive of this bizarre alien species that is not that sort of sci-fi. It's a different intelligent thrilling confusing as well, but in a nice way. They said, you know, I'd rather be confused for 5 minutes than bored for 10 seconds.
You're only left confused about stuff you're meant to be confused about. That's meant to be open to debate, which is why you can go through the whole film and no, a lot of people will, you know, watch it start to finish and then come away thinking, oh right, you know, that's the end, brilliant, and then go home, get on with their lives, and there's nothing wrong with that. But then if you want to start thinking about, oh right, hang on, but this happened, or how does that mean about this, and you can then go into it more and more and more if you want to, but you also don't have to. It doesn't just leave gaping great holes everywhere that then you have to start trying to work out what the hell went on.
And what was quite nice, I found, is that in the first few minutes there's lots of familiar faces, very good cast. And although sometimes I've seen some films where I think, they're just trying to be confusing for the sake of it. Mm. In this film, what's quite nice, for the first 10-15 minutes, I'm going, it's him, it's him off, it's her off that, and it's them and they've got that, and Michael Caine's appeared. And, you know, it's just lots of famous names. And it's coming quite satisfying about watching people you're very familiar with, famous actors, just saying things which at the minute don't make sense, might make sense in an hour or two, but are quite confusing. But you kind of think, I trust Leonardo DiCaprio to be able to take me with him on this journey.
Yeah.
And you know, all the actors and the director, you know, Christopher Nolan wrote and directed it. He's got great form. You know, to trust them. Mm. It's going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Go with it.
Yeah. There are certain bits of dialogue where, again, just it's nice having something thrown at you, just dialogue wise. I mean, one line which, you know, will mean not giving this isn't giving anything away, but someone refers to another character and someone says, "Yeah, look how well that turned out." And then we don't find out, and no one reacts to that. Mm. But we don't find out what that means until half an hour plus later. Mm. But it's just nice to have a film for the first time in a while where they're comfortable doing that. And it's almost a sad thing that we have to think that's a good thing, because more films should do it, where you just throw in a line and you don't have to immediately then spell out to the audience, "This is why." Yeah. You know, let's all tell you everything now. Just know it'll just all unfold in due course. This won't mean anything to you now, but we're just getting it all set up.
Mm. I think in some ways the point is that you're actually meant to get a bit lost at some times, but it's one of those films being so well made that you're going to want to come back to, and I have every confidence that when I go back I'm going to get more and more from it.
Because you should get lost in it, otherwise it's just it, being handheld throughout a film is slightly annoying. I mean, yeah. I don't want to have everything explained every step of the way.
Because you trust then, it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It keeps your brain engaged.
It was, I felt, it's quite long. It's about 2.5 hours long.
Yeah.
And I often think that is plenty for a film, and but it kept my attention. So
yeah,
I don't think there was
no bit in which I thought, oh, it's all.
There's not much you could see they could cut, really. Even though I prefer a film that's nearer the 2 hour mark, there's nothing I could say trim that then, you know, because it didn't feel woolly. But
and also, I quite like the fact. I think mainly just to stop people. I think some people are starting to read huge amounts into it and going off on weird and wild theories that aren't really borne out. But I quite like the fact to try and sort of keep that in check. Whereas with a film like The Matrix, it doesn't have any great, huge pretensions to it. But the underlying idea, people can come away saying, oh, so, you know, maybe none of this is real and it's all the computer world. And it doesn't do anything to dissuade you from thinking that. In this, while because of the nature of dreams, there's nothing to stop people coming away saying, oh, maybe everything, maybe our whole lives are dreams. It doesn't really say that. The whole story is kind of meant to be about these individual people and their dream, and that's what these people are doing, not implying the world is a dream.
And it
sort of keeps the pretension to a minimum just by saying this was what these people are doing. You know, don't read more into it than that.
Yeah.
It does almost seem. I mean, I'd say I'll give it 9 out of 10 probably for I'd rarely give a 9 out of 10. So that's pretty good.
Okay.
But I do think, and I don't want to sort of sound like I'm heaping too much praise on it in a way, but it almost felt like cinema's evolving, or storytelling in cinema's evolving in a way it couldn't really work as it wouldn't work as a book in the same way, it wouldn't work as a TV series in the same way, or a radio thing. Sort of felt like this was one guy, Christopher Nolan, came in one day and went, okay, I've got this idea, I'll give you the script, but you won't really get the full picture of it until it maps itself out. And it's a very sophisticated story.
It's very visual. But without, I think a book could work, but it would be clunkier.
Yeah,
because certain things that are told by the visuals, you'd have to sort of spell them out more in the book, which would then take away from it.
And you need, I mean, it's a film where there is literally layer upon layer upon layer, of stuff, and you know, there's time things where something might last not long there, but long time there, and there's things like that which you could only really get in the way they've done it.
Yes,
and fair play to him.
One of the measures of a very interesting film is one that has prompted discussions after the event.
Yeah.
And this has more than any other film I've seen for ages.
I don't recall any film where we thought we'd devote an entire podcast to it after just to talk about it. So we'll do that in a future week.
Yes.
So,
but not even just in terms of, you know, but the meaning of the story, but even just the mechanics of stuff. Certain elements. Without, again, not giving anything away, but you know, how you connect to the dream world, for want of a better phrase, they don't really get into the mechanics of that.
No, exactly.
So basically, off we go. And it's good, we don't need to waste time on how it works. But I was still, and a couple of other people I know, were really interested in how the mechanics might work a bit. So you end up discussing that. And again, just mainly geeks I know who are sort of interested in how it might work. But again, it just sets you thinking about how it all hooks together. So yeah, lots to think about, ultimately.
We had an email from Jed about this, who said, it's a movie that's equal parts intelligence and spectacle. Every aspect of the film is watertight, from its astounding visual to the ironclad ensemble of a cast led by Leonardo DiCaprio. Probably best described as Ocean's 11 meets The Matrix by way of William Gibson's sci-fi short stories. Also proof that you can count on Christopher Nolan to save a bad, bad summer movie season.
Well, yeah, that's something else, which I think website Film Drunk kept making the point about. Just say, everyone, please go and see Inception, because if Inception crashes and burns, we're going to get Marmaduke 2 and Toy Story 8 and sequel upon sequel upon sequel, because that's all else we've got. And Iron Man 2, I enjoyed a lot, but it's another sequel. I have no problems with sequels existing, but a world in which studios only make sequels and spin-offs and safe bets and existing audiences, and it just
gets brave,
dull.
Come on,
exactly. And so Inception, I think, is en route to. I think it's not quite earned $100 million just yet,
right?
But it had a very good opening weekend, and so I think it's financially it's going to do okay.
And it's got a mixed audience. In that, actually, I saw that it was by accident, mother and baby screening.
Of Inception.
Interesting, which you would not expect. The lights are up. The sound, apparently the sound meant to be on half of the volume, except I think they forgot until the last 10 minutes. So
what is it, something that, and especially with a score that has a lot of words, as you'll see from the trailer, just go, the score is like, which is
thinking, God, if this is on half the volume, I'm kind of glad, because I don't want this on double this, deafened as it was. So it just got suddenly a bit whispery towards the end. But that's all right. But no, I thought, you know, fair play to him.
Yeah.
For the only guy there, that is odd. But no, and actually, because
were they giving you slightly odd looks? A single man and a mother and baby.
But the thing is, the guy at the box office actually said, you know, just beware that this is the case. And so, you know, I said, well, but it's still going to play. It's all fine, isn't it? You know, it's not like the children's entertainer's going to be there, sort of. You know.
Yeah.
And he said, well, and then you could tell that both him and the guy who took my ticket both said, well, I would, you know, it's not the same as the big screen. You know, it's not the loud, the pool, you know, it's not the same. And I actually felt, having seen, you know, various films like Toy Story 3 with screaming kids, having seen Twilight with screaming teenagers, I think I'd much rather babies than teenagers, because you can block out the noise.
Well, just as well, really, isn't it?
It is quite handy with a baby on the way. Yeah. Although it's probably not a good thing that I'll just be able to block out the noise.
And just ignore it.
Fine, ignore it. But so I recommend those. They're absolutely fine. You'll have no problem.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay, it's good to know.
Yeah, so I can imagine they'd probably be better than teenagers talking and texting throughout the film.
Because also, that's going to... The fact it's that sort of screening is going to put off teenagers.
Yeah.
Which I think I'd write any film that will put off teenagers.
Yeah, that's true.
No offence if you're a teenager.
You're getting old, Paul.
Yeah, well, he's young whippersnappy.
Well, yes. Actually, but with Inception, because I made the point, and I made a note earlier about the sort of saviour of cinema, there was another point I made somewhere on the podcast list. Oh, I don't know what you've done with it, because you've rearranged it.
Oh, yeah.
So you're now seeing behind the curtain.
There we go.
Oh no, that was the other point I made. So yeah, saying it doesn't try and question, you know, everyone's reality, because it's just stays more limited to individual dreams, which is good. Mm. Yeah, in which case that's my point made.
Well done.
Yeah.
You've got another note about another film. Do you want to move on to that one now? Should we save Inception for another time?
We could do. Yeah, but I think that's. Ultimately, there's a lot to be said for seeing it and maybe seeing it twice and thinking about. But equally, it's not the sort of, if you're not inclined towards a massively convoluted film, then you can just watch it straight through, and it's just it carries you with it and tells you what's going on when it needs to, and you can just watch it on that, and then go home and avoid annoying discussions among people.
Don't go to the loo halfway through, because you'll walk back in and go, what the hell
yes,
is going on?
Hang on.
You won't have a clue.
Everyone's upside down. Unlike, I think Lost. Mm. I get the feeling if you watched all of Lost, you'll get to the end and still think, but what and why and who? Whereas if you get to the end of Inception, you'll be quite happy with thinking, oh, right, and then getting on with it.
Yeah, but Lost is a different beast to the TV series. It's sort of...
No, but I've seen some comparisons online. I think, again, people worried about a lot of people who loved hacking apart every single second of Lost for meaning and depth might now just move on to Inception and sort of tear it to pieces.
Well, they're bored now.
And then ruining it. Yeah, I mean, ruining it by over-analysis.
Just want to scratch. Just want to have a little itch. Yeah, yeah. Go on. Anyway, moving on from Inception.
Yes, let's move on.
We'll have nothing to talk about next.
Well, no, we'll still have a lot to talk about.
Anyway, I know, but come on.
Yes, but Predators, slightly different from both Toy Story 3 and, well, arguably, it's less terrifying than Toy Story 3 at times.
Yes.
But yeah, this was obviously the sequel. It's pitched as a sequel to Predator, rather than ignoring Predator 2, ignoring the Alien vs. Predator films.
Yes.
Kind of that. And it feels a lot like Predator. Essentially, Adrian Brody and a lot of other nameless cannon fodder get sent to an alien planet and then get attacked by aliens or the Predators. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But as a result, I thought it kind of worked.
Do you see it as well, Jen?
Yeah,
you
did. Because I haven't seen Predator, so I was like, no, okay, all right, I'll give this a go. And yeah.
That's the thing.
That's about it.
Yeah. It's, I feel kind of bad because I enjoyed it a lot. I, you know, watched it and thought, yeah, I really quite enjoyed that. But then, up again, you know, having since seen Toy Story 3 and Inception, which are two films that carry, you know, have definite emotional journeys and be thinking about stuff, and Predators is utterly disposable, which doesn't make it a bad film.
No.
It's by far, it's not, I wouldn't say, as good as Predator, but it's, you know, it's very much in the same ballpark. But it's just hard to get as worked up about it as I have about the other two,
of course,
because if you want a sort of a semi mindless action, but not mindless action. If you want a decent action film, it's a good bet, because there's lots going on. It's not irritating, well acted. Adrian Brody, I thought he'd be far too spindly. Turns out he's actually relatively huge for sort of current action. He's not Arnie, but then you don't get Arnies anymore.
No.
So he carries off the action hero role quite well, and sort of a couple of twists and turns, for want of a better phrase.
Do you need to have seen Predator or Predator?
No,
2,
not at all.
I don't think so.
No, I mean, the trailer does an interesting. I mean,
not
for
that
anyone,
complex.
No, I mean, it really isn't. There's no. they reference Predator.
If you want to get all the references and all the mystery,
I'm sure
and
there's
the
some,
and the,
but
no, that's the thing. There is no. I mean, no,
there's some
there's
hints
a degree,
to what happened before. There's like, there was this report and this was found.
Yeah, there's a name check.
Look out for that, guys. That might come back later. Oh yes, it has.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there is a reference to Predator. It turns out, you know, once you get into it a bit, that someone has heard what happened in the jungle in 1987.
I think just because of the plot of it and the way it ends, I'm just there thinking, nah, it's just very claustrophobic in many ways. The fact is that, I don't know how much I can say, but you realise that not all is as it should be. And for me, it kind of had that feeling from Cube. Do you remember Cube?
I do remember Cube.
People are in one place and they have to sort of make their way through it. It's kind of like that, but at the end it was a far less satisfying.
No, see, I wasn't thinking that, because by the time... I mean, if you haven't seen the trailer, so you don't know they're on an alien planet, which I've now ruined.
Try not to say,
but it's in the trailer. My general rule of thumb is if it's something in the trailer, you don't need to worry about spoiling it.
Okay.
Unless it's an annoying trailer which spells out the entire film. But no, I mean, the film has always been pitched to everyone from the start as, yeah, we've transposed, it's on an alien planet, so the roles reversed. That was the gist of the film. Anyway.
But it's about that now you go, well, they're all buggered.
No, because they might get off. They might not. We know there are ships flying to and from. That's not giving away anything about the ending. Whether they get off or not. Do they get back home or not?
No, exactly.
No,
I just had a song. musical interlude.
Yeah, but that's why it makes... And the way the film ends, in either way, gives potential to make another one. I'm sure they will.
I mean, they're not going to stop here.
Well,
they're going to have to try a lot harder.
They've done Alien vs Predator 2, Requiem. They're going to keep
But you say they. I mean, it's a different...
The people. The Predators.
The people.
The Predators are making the film.
No, this is a lot. This has a lot more behind it than certainly Alien vs Predator films.
Oh,
and also Predator 2. Predator 2 was basically just, put a Predator in LA and Danny Glover's around, he'll do it.
What? Is that the story?
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, the thing is, I don't mind Predators. No, because it's explained that the whole point is that Predators like sort of warm.
To anyone who loves the films, I'm really sorry. I haven't seen it, but when you just hear it like that, it's like...
Are you now thinking like Beverly Hills Cop, with the Predators wandering down inside?
Yes.
No, that's not what goes on. It's in the middle of a gang war, sort of heat wave, and so, you know, it's crawling around at night, and you know, it likes hot, intense places.
Okay.
Who doesn't? But,
but then equally... wandering around LA isn't that the go-to thing for any action sequel?
Because
Jurassic Park: Lost World did that as well, didn't they?
I think it's San Diego actually.
Is it San Diego?
I think it's San Diego. I don't think it's LA.
King Kong did it, obviously not a sequel, but they did anyway.
No, that's New York.
King Kong.
Yep.
Good point.
Famously New York. Climbing up the Empire State Building in LA.
Yeah, might do.
And I'm not intentionally trying to shoot down your theory ball, but you're doing it yourself.
Highlander, didn't they go around Los Angeles for a bit?
I think they're always in LA.
Well, there you go. Ah, my point. Yeah,
films
exactly.
in LA.
That makes up for the rest of them. LA Story. Hollywood Land.
No. To be honest, in...
just listing places.
Yeah. In the context of Predator 2, it was probably because, it was cheap to film in LA.
Yes.
And Predator as a concept, it kind of worked. You know, make it, you know, urban rather than jungle and changing around. But it was just quite generic. Whereas this definitely has more going on and them trying to work out the world. And also, you see one or two other alien species because it's not just people. And sort of infighting. And I'm not trying to pretend it's a massively deep film, but it is. It should suit fans of the Predator franchise, I think.
Yes. It was fine. It was fine. It's just that the other two films that we've seen recently, I'm not going to rush to
see
it.
No, it's a harder sell. If it's a toss-up between Predators or Toy Story 3 or Inception, then you should see them in reverse order of what I've just said.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I think that's quite true. Good. Okay, well, I may see it. It's the first Predator film I'll have seen ever.
Yeah.
Who knows? I might wait for Predators 2.
More Predators. More Predators. Even more Predators.
Predators in LA. Go crazy.
So in which case, Leonardo DiCaprio films.
Oh yeah, we've got a couple of emails.
Oh, have we?
Okay. Emails quickly, very quickly. We haven't got many.
It's from the new setup because it was laptop and now I'm further away from the screen and the screen's a different place. It's all
a couple of emails. You can email us podcast@moviebanter.co.uk
or you can tweet us at moviebanter or find us on Facebook.
Exactly.
Actually, Facebook. We've picked up a few people on Facebook.
Hello, Facebookies.
Hello.
Hello.
Emails for one from Manda who said, "I agree with the past email. Mini banter better than no banter." Don't mind the two-parters. Okay, well, it's good to know.
We made that with this. Well, you'll find out if you're listening to this a week later.
You may have
we might have chopped it in half
of this a week later, in which case, sorry, it cut off suddenly. and she says, keep up the brilliant work, and I vote with keeping Jen.
Hey.
She's super sweet, and I give her major props for putting up with you guys.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, that's actually made my day.
Major props, I mean like the big props.
She wants to throw you through a propeller. Or just an enormous plastic telephone.
That's what it is. Yeah. Massive one.
Massive plastic telephone.
So there you go. So well, okay, we'll keep Jen for now.
No, yeah. Right. Until Gemma Arterton returns our call and cancels the restraining orders.
Never gonna happen.
I've not tried calling her.
And another odd email from Brendan Connolly. Brendan, if you're listening, then hello. Because his email just said, so, when am I coming on as a guest then?
Do you live in the area?
We haven't had a habit thus far of just picking random names in the phone book and saying, come on in.
But feel free to get back in touch explaining further.
Exactly. Yeah.
But thanks to you then.
So this is your first test. Are you listening to this? Because if you are, then you are at least a listener, which is a start, which is a bonus. So good. Any other emails, keep them coming. And Desert Island Flicks, should we just round up on that?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
And then we'll be off and pretend this never happened. Leonardo DiCaprio,
yeah.
I want to get the proverbial Leonardo DiCaprio shaped ball rolling.
The thing is, there's just so many.
I know. But the nice thing is that normally this is what we do when someone's died.
Yes.
And we say, you know, Dennis Hopper, who's done these
films. Well, I haven't checked the news. He might have died.
He might have done.
Ooh. Oh, don't say that.
Do you think my words have the power to influence reality?
You never know.
He might have been struck by an iceberg. But the thing with him is he's done so many that actually it's kind of okay to do it now because he's probably done more very good films than most have in their entire career.
A lot of people might have done lots of sort of solid works, but no real best film candidates. But he's got a good, probably at least 2/3 of the films he's ever made are potentially good. Yeah. I was looking at the list of films that he was the star in. Mm. I think only Man in the Iron Mask is an obvious, slightly
ropey point. Yes.
Yeah, I need to see it again, but I don't remember it being. I don't think it was awful, but it wasn't really a.
What was it after?
Film.
What was that one after?
That was after Titanic.
Oh right, so yes.
It may just be that after the epic shoot of Titanic, he just thought, oh, I'll just chop this one out, take the paycheck, go home, have a nice evening, put a mask on. No one needs to see me for most of it. But yeah,
I think that was all right. I seem to recall it wasn't.
It's not a terrible film.
The original one,
the ones he's done currently, a classic.
It is
the
Predators.
Man in the Iron Mask was better. The other one was better. So.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's the problems of comparison. Oh, and Revolutionary Road, obviously.
We weren't fans of, but others were.
I'm not going to choose that one either.
So, someone pick a film because I've got about three I could choose from.
Yeah,
so
me too.
Inception, I loved and would rate it generally better than these. But I want to pick something that he's better in. If that makes sense, and he's very good in Inception, but it's not just a spectacle. But yeah, I feel there's something else to go for. I'm actually going to go The Departed.
Okay,
personally,
fair enough.
Yeah,
it works.
Possibly a slight degree of just affection because I haven't seen it for a little while, but I feel he's got a bit more to do in that.
Yeah.
So he's slightly more watchable. So that's my pick.
Mm. Mm.
Jennifer.
Well, I think quickly skimming it down, I think I've got it down to two. Ooh, I'm doing better because it was all of them before. Shutter Island was just amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. A really great film, and sort of in a similar way to.
Yeah, definitely parallel.
Yeah, they are
in some ways.
Quite similar. Yeah, usually similar. I did like Shutter Island.
But I also really loved Romeo and Juliet. It did so much for bringing Shakespeare back, and he was great, and perfect casting at the time. Actually, a Romeo who's the age he's meant to be, which was
and who can act.
And who can act? Yeah. So part of the teenage in me wants to go for that, but I'm. I don't know. Go on, you say, and then I'll decide.
I'm going for Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, you see? You snooze, you lose.
That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. I've got it now. It's mine. It's mine forever.
Maybe your island's close to mine and you can ship it over after you've watched it.
What's Romeo and Juliet?
Desert Island.
That's true, I could do that.
We're starting to overanalyze the metaphor, because it's not like there's only one DVD in the world that we can then take to the island.
I'm going
to
say Shutter Island then, just to
so
say
your,
something
So your
different.
Desert Island is Shutter Island?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we're on an island full of mental people.
I'm not sure I like that.
No, I wouldn't.
Too late, Jen, you're on it now.
Actually, they're saying that. I did also really love the beach, so I'm going to make it... No, that's bad too.
Yeah, that's not a happy island beach, is it, really? Yeah. Yeah. If you imagine Shutter Island has got the beach on it, then and just off that there's an iceberg with a sunken ship.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do all the films.
If it's meant to be a nice tropical island with an iceberg just offshore, that's got some weird geography going on.
It has a little bit, hasn't it?
Very temperate.
Maybe it's all just a dream.
Ooh.
In which case,
no, I don't know. With Yeah, we should see them. Let's stop now.
Good. So I'm going Romeo and Juliet, you're going Shutter Island.
Yeah. I'm going Departed.
Okay, we're all going home. Right, yes. There you go. We're all Departing. Jobs are good.
Yes. So yeah, thank you for your time. Bye.
Bye.